sure there are affordable homes in our community, including homes in vibrant neighborhoods like the South Park blocks. The 30% set aside is a limited pool of public money that must be spent wisely. And when we consider where to invest, we think about how our investments will leverage additional contributions. Through the 11 by 13 campaign, our $13 million of total TIF investments has leveraged other public and private investments of nearly $130 million. And that's a 10-to-1 investment, excuse me, a 10-to-1 leverage. Additionally, by protecting the federal Section 8 subsidies which attach to these buildings, we have ensured that more than $100 million of rent subsidies will remain in our community for 20 years. And thanks to those subsidies, it means low-income people have more money to spend on the necessities of life, which is good for them and good for our local economy. Mayor Adams, think of 11 by 13 as like Cash Oregon or the BEST program, two of your favorites. By pooling our resources and focusing on opportunities for the greatest possible leverage, we're able to bring tremendous resources into our community. And finally, I want to acknowledge today that we're working with a very strong partner on this project. Cedars-Sinai Park, a local nonprofit providing residential and community-based care, is the project developer. And through this preservation process, they will take over as the owner and the manager of the building. Now, we know that Cedars-Sinai Park has a proven track record. They've successfully preserved over 230 homes at the Rose Schnitzer Manor, which was actually one of the inspirations for our 11 by 13 campaign. And they are developing a Kihila housing in Southwest Portland, which will bring more than a dozen affordable homes together with support services to disabled adults. After today, and with your support, we will have partnered with them on three of these cornerstone projects. Based on the core value of dignity, Cedars-Sinai Park is committed to delivering a broad-based continuum of care, recognizing that people should have the right to control decisions about their own lives. We're honored and excited to have David Fuchs with us to say a few brief words today, and Jacob Fox. And I also just want to acknowledge that the Oregonian wrote a lead editorial today, really celebrating the philanthropy of the Schnitzer family and explaining why, in their view, this is a big win for our community. They are sometimes parsimonious in their praise for the things that we do on this council. But I think in this case, the business case is so compelling. And I'm proud that they not only affirmed the necessity of these kinds of investments, but called out the fact that without the generosity of families like the Schnitzers, these buildings would not be available for these uses. David, I'd like to introduce you to say a couple more.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, my name is David Fuchs. I'm Chief Executive Officer of Cedars-Sinai Park. Our organization is in its 93rd year of operation. We've been providing services to elders and people with disability in the Portland community for a good long time. We're very, very grateful to have the support and the involvement of the city in this very important work and to be part of the city's effort to preserve the Section 8 housing. I cannot praise enough the work of Jacob Fox and the Portland Housing Bureau. They have been a distinct pleasure to work with, and this is one of a number of projects now that we've undertaken together. It's made a great deal of difference to have the support and the involvement of the city. I have to praise also Jim Winkler, who is in the room. Jim is really the developer and the genius behind all of Cedars-Sinai Park's work in the area of affordable housing and has made a great difference to us, and we are so honored by the Schnitzer family, that they see us as a conduit to continue their commitment to charitable endeavor in the Portland community as regards affordable housing. As I've mentioned in the past, this is a project that will complete our efforts to acquire affordable housing in downtown Portland. We will have 540 affordable apartments in downtown Portland as this transaction is completed, and it will give us the capacity to develop a housing with social services and healthcare services project, which will help the residents in these buildings to age in place and will help to create a model for how services can be provided. And we're very excited to be able to undertake that kind of work, not only on behalf of the residents of these four buildings, but to create a template which we hope will be replicable and be of great service to our city. I am mindful of the fact that we are making a 60-year commitment to maintaining this affordable housing as part of the covenant between us and the City of Portland. It's one of the reasons I wanted to emphasize that we are already a 93-year-old entity, and we anticipate that our organization, I doubt I'll be here in 60 years, but that our organization will be here in 60 years to celebrate that success with the city. In Jewish homiletic writing, there's a story of a man who plants a carob tree, an old man planting a carob tree. A carob tree does not provide fruit until it's about 60 years old. And he's approached by someone who says, "Why are you doing this? You will never see the fruits of this effort." And he said, "Just as I have benefited from the fruits of trees others have planted, I look forward to the future generations benefiting from the fruits of the tree that I am planting today." Members of the City Council, Mr. Mayor, we are planting a carob tree together to benefit the City of Portland. We are so honored to be in partnership with the city to do this important work.
Thank you. Thank you all. Discussion from Council. Anyone wish to testify on this matter?
We have two people signed up, Susan Emmons and Jim Winkler.
Unless you are going to try to talk us out of this, for the sake of time, I'd like you to relinquish your sign-up. Is that right? I assume you're supportive. Great. Thank you all very much. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
This is a great program. I appreciate the work everybody's done on it, the Schnitzer family, but especially Commissioner Fish in drawing all of this together. Thank you. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you to Susan Emmons and Jim Winkler for agreeing to speed us along a little and for being here in support. Thanks to everybody for your good work. Aye.
Fish.
I too want to thank Susan for being here, because Susan has made a significant part of her professional life has been dedicated to preserving affordable housing choices for older adults downtown. And it's because we believe that first and foremost, you should be able to decide where you want to live, and you should be able to live in high-performing, desirable neighborhoods. We particularly believe that people who spend a lifetime giving to us should be able to, in their golden years, live in dignity. And Susan, thank you for your extraordinary work. Jim Winkler, who's here, this is not the first extremely complicated transaction that Jim has helped all the parties navigate. And Jim is an indispensable party and also has worked on legislation and regulatory relief around something called residual receipts. Your eyes will start glazing over if I mention what that is, but Jim knows, and it's crucial to what we've done. We have many partners to thank today, including NOAA, which at the statewide level has framed an agenda around preservation, the state of Oregon, which made tax-exempt bonds available, Wells Fargo, PNC Capital, which handled the tax credits, Harold and Arlene Schnitzer and their son Jordan, who had the vision to keep these buildings affordable. I also want to thank the extraordinary team at the Portland Housing Bureau. These things are really complicated, and they sometimes, by the time they come to council, they seem like they're just inevitable. But this is a project which had many twists and turns, and what I'd say, none of these are inevitable. In fact, it's almost a miracle that we have saved 9 of the 11. But by the end of next year, I am confident we will be able to declare victory in saving all 11 buildings. And it's because of this network of partnerships and people who are just committed to making this happen. And I'll leave you with a thought. One of the buildings we're preserving today is directly across the street from the Heathman. It's one of the nicest buildings downtown. Well, the next time you're in a major city and you're downtown, you're looking at a building like Park Tower, it is probably a building that is high-end condos or is used for a business purpose or for housing for executives or whatever. This is one of our great buildings with a great address. And I think it speaks volumes for the values of our community that so many people will come together and say that people who have the least should have the best and should have this address for a lifetime. 20 years of federal Section 8 subsidies, but as David mentioned, Cedars-Sinai has agreed to 60 years of affordability, which is our requirement in consideration of public investment. 60 years that people will be able to call this home. And as part of this transaction, we will renovate the buildings so that they are attractive for years to come. I am always proud of the work of my team, but today I'm especially proud. And I thank everyone who made it possible. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you to Cedars-Sinai and Northwest Pilot Project. Commissioner Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I know there's a lot of work behind this action, and to the good folks at the Bureau of Housing, Cedars-Sinai, Jim Winkler, Susan Emmons, great work. Aye. All right, can we, while you're calling the VMC items, could we have Ron Carr, Brian Libby, Gwen Baldwin, and Tom Welter come up?
Items 1367 and 1368, approve agreements among the city and one or more of the Portland Development Commission, Rip City Management LLC, doing business as Portland Arena Management, and Portland Winterhawks, Inc., for the renovation and operation of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum for use by the Portland Winterhawks hockey team and for other events, uses, and activities. 1368, approve an option agreement among the City Office of Management and Finance, the Portland Development Commission, and Rip City Management LLC, doing business as Portland Arena Management, to transfer certain land and property development rights to the Rose Quarter District and authorize the establishment of a Rose Quarter event parking district as specified.
Sorry that we've kept you an hour and 15 minutes beyond our deadline. I apologize for that. Mr. Carr, would you like to begin?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Mayor, and thank you for this opportunity. I'm honored to be able to represent the veterans community. Excuse me. My name is Ronald Carr, Lieutenant Commander, United States Coast Guard Reserve, retired, and retired is relative, right? Anyway, the importance of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and Memorial Gardens is what I was asked to speak briefly on. I am a proud veteran, and I belong to a brotherhood of men and women who have served this great country for more than 200 years. You may be one of them. I may have never met you or served alongside you or even fought in the same wars with you, but we have a connection, a bond, a brotherhood. We are veterans, and we know what it means to serve, not only through the sacrifices we've individually made, but also for the others of our brotherhood, as well as for the sacrifices made by our spouses, children, and families back at home. We remember them all, and we are grateful. We also remember that every person who gave the ultimate sacrifice had a mother and a father, very probably brothers and sisters, wives, husbands, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Each sacrifice and the loss of a warrior is felt by every family member, friend, associate, and loved one that had once touched their life. In America, we value the life of every human being, and this is a driving force of everything we do as veterans. We leave no one behind, and we remember. Forever, we remember. Throughout our history, we've heard many battle cries. Remember the Maine, remember the Alamo, remember Pearl Harbor, and remember 9/11, just to name a few. It's not just that we want to remember, it's also that we need to remember. We need to help other people and generations remember by sharing these stories, memories, and traditions with our children and grandchildren. It is and should be a part of our history and traditions as a nation. We must never forget the sacrifices of those men and women who have served this great country to guarantee our freedoms. We must never forget those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our liberties. President Abraham Lincoln said it best and most succinctly in his Gettysburg Address, and I want to share a few of those lines that are specifically relevant to this great Veterans Memorial Coliseum and Memorial Garden. He said, quote, "It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth." Unquote. This is why we remember. This is why the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and Memorial Gardens are so important to our community and to our society as a whole. It comes down to something as simple as this. We want and need to remember, but even more important, it is extremely important to never forget. Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. Mr. Libby.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Brian Libby, and I'm a
journalist working here in Portland, although I'm here on behalf of a grassroots community organization called the Friends of Memorial Coliseum, which was formed 3 years ago by a cross-section of local citizens to help save the building. I'd like to say also, though, that we're here with the encouragement of and support of some larger organizations, such as the American Institute of Architects, which represents some 4,000 architects in the city of Portland, as well as the Cascadia chapter of the U.S. Green Building Council and the National Trust for Historic Preservation. We in the Friends of Memorial Coliseum would like to emphasize that great cities preserve and protect their architectural treasures. Portland obviously does not have perhaps the history that our cities on the East Coast or in Europe do, but we would argue that that's all the more important that we protect some of the great places, both built and natural, that we have here in the city, whether it's Pioneer Courthouse Square or City Hall right here or Waterfront Park or many other examples. When we speak about Memorial Coliseum, people know it as a basketball arena and a place where we've all seen concerts and other events over the years, but there's a curious situation with the building in that the feature that makes it truly one of a kind as a work of architecture in the world is something, unfortunately, that most of our citizens have not had a chance to experience, which is that the building is virtually the only building in the world with a 360-degree view to the outside. So when you're sitting in that seating bowl, you're looking out at the entire downtown Portland skyline and the Willamette River. Although I have grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, friends, all who have been to the building countless times and have not experienced that. So I mention this because we'd like to emphasize the untapped potential of Memorial Coliseum, that perhaps some basketball arenas that are 50 years old don't have a compelling reason to be saved, but that this building is special. It may not have the kind of architectural detail that a building hundreds of years old might have, like a Westminster Abbey, but that Memorial Coliseum represents the best of the World War II generation's contributions to building cities and design. That it is one of a kind. We call it the transparent arena sometimes. And I'd like to also emphasize that the building itself is a veterans memorial. Obviously, we're here today with the support of lots of veterans, including my grandfathers, who are both World War II veterans. As important as memorial plaques are outside, we'd like to emphasize that the building itself is a living memorial because of a lot of reasons having to do with the light and its symbolism. Saving the building is also the sustainable choice. Portland has sought to become an international leader in the field of sustainable design and construction, but the experts of green building will all tell you that the greenest move we can make is not building a building from the ground up, even if it's an incredibly sustainable one like the Oregon Sustainability Center, but in preserving our existing buildings, or at least the special ones. I know my time is running out here, and I'd just like to emphasize on behalf of all my partners that this opportunity is a kind of what we call a Pioneer Courthouse Square moment, that the Rose Quarter really ought to be the center of the East Side and maybe one of the centers of the city, and it's been woefully underserving the people of Portland up until now, at least in terms of being a great place. We go there for events and then we leave. And we believe that Memorial Coliseum, along with the sensible development of the space around the buildings, can act as a catalyst, that there's a long record proving that there is economic value in great urban places. And so as I close, I happened to notice earlier when Rose Festival was being addressed, I thought of the appropriate nature of Rose Festival and Memorial Coliseum being addressed by the council at the same time, because they are both part of the very DNA of the culture and the history and the fabric of the city. And you can't save every building, but this is one that is extra special. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Baldwin?
Can't quite tell. There we go. My name is Gwen Baldwin, and I represent the Lloyd Executive Partnership, which includes some of the largest property owners in the Lloyd District, such as the Blazers, Langley Investment Properties, Kaiser Permanente, Liberty Northwest, Bonneville Power Administration, and PacifiCorp. I'm here today because the Veterans Memorial Coliseum Project is one of the top priorities for the Lloyd Executive Partnership. as we move towards leveraging the really amazing resources that are in the Lloyd District and have yet to be tapped. That includes the Convention Hotel project, the Lloyd Eco District. We very much appreciate Council's support for the Eco Districts in general and Lloyd Eco District in specific, as well as private sector development, which leverages the public investments of streetcar and light rail. These are exciting times. I mean, not only have you passed the Lloyd Eco District resolution giving standing to the Eco District, the hotel is progressing, finally. The Superblock development is in design and we expect that to break ground and go through permitting in 2013. And the 200 Broadway project, which is sort of at the other end of the district, at the Broadway bridgehead, is in design. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about a vibrant, evolving, formerly land-banked neighborhood. But make no mistake, the Veterans Memorial Coliseum project is a huge piece of this. This is a city-owned asset. It deserves basic maintenance. As a Veterans Memorial Coliseum, the community demands that kind of respect for the Coliseum. That in and of itself would be worthy of your support. But this project goes beyond that. It provides a tie-in to all the things that we talk about. It provides the tie-in to establish a more vibrant and robust development at that bridgehead. It will do more to bring in and engage the community, to enliven development prospects and opportunities in that area. It has the potential, and I know these conversations are in discussion, very exciting potential, to be a part of shared thermal energy, a part of that eco-district, as well as providing alternatives and activities for those thousands of conventioneers who will be coming in once we establish a headquarters hotel. So this is an important piece of the puzzle. We really appreciate all of your attention and effort to land this plane, and we very much encourage your support for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wolf.
Good morning. My name is Tom Welter. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon School Activities Association. We're actually a private nonprofit corporation representing 292 public and private high schools all across the state of Oregon. We conduct 116 state championships each year in 19 different activities. Besides our athletic activities, we do state championships in cheerleading, dance and drill, band, choir, orchestra, solo music. We use the Memorial Coliseum, and probably other than the Rose Festival, we've been at our first event held in the Coliseum was a boys basketball tournament starting in 1966, and we have used it continuously since that time. This is the 47th year we've conducted some of our championships using Veterans Memorial Coliseum. I've listed in the handout I gave you, I wanted to show you, not only is it important for the students in the Portland metropolitan area, but we conduct state championships. So, for example, at our wrestling tournament, we conduct a two-day wrestling tournament at the Coliseum where we have 1,682 matches over 2 days. We have students representing 160 of our high schools, of our 292 schools, come into Portland over that period of time to conduct that activity. Currently, our large school boys and girls basketball tournament is not held at Veterans Memorial Coliseum because the scoreboard doesn't work. We couldn't play a basketball tournament. You know, the events that we conduct for our students, for most of them, the vast majority, participation in a state championship is the pinnacle of their athletic career. And so we want to try to provide them the best venues and the best opportunities so that they have a memorable experience with whether they win a state championship or not. And right now we're using the Rose Garden for our large school basketball tournament. We probably can't afford to be there much longer because we don't draw the crowds that warrant using that large facility. And I don't think the Blazers can afford to have us there because we don't draw the crowds to be able to afford to use that activity. So we're very interested in moving that event, it's a four-day event, over to the Coliseum once it gets renovated and is suitable for playing a state basketball tournament. Would like to thank you for your consideration. Certainly, we value Veterans Memorial Coliseum, as I said, and we think some of the best activities we can provide for our young people are some of the best lessons we can teach them are through high school activities, and we appreciate your cooperation in making venues available to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony. Really appreciate it. Drew Mihalik, Jeff Curtis, Sarah Heineke, Stuart Timmons. Did Stuart have to go?
Yeah.
Okay. And
unfortunately, Sarah could not stay. That's why.
So that gets us to Portland Business Alliance. Carly, are you testifying? Is there someone from the Architectural Heritage Center? Please come forward. And then we'll see if there is any non-invited testimony, and we'll go into Dina Alexander will take us through the proposed amendments. So, Mr. Mihalik, would you like to start?
Sure. Drew Mihalik, Oregon Sports Authority. Hello again. Just a brief remark. This is probably the last time I'll address the five of you as a unit, and I think during your tenure as a unit, I think you've done some remarkable things, and I think you've set the table for more things to come down in the future. I am particularly going to miss Randy and Sam, both professionally and personally, so I just wanted to say thank you. But I'm here today to really support the renovation of Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It can be a catalyst for much-needed economic development. The renovation of the Coliseum can place Portland in a class by itself. We'll be the only city anywhere with two first-rate arenas just a few feet apart that can give us advantages to get events that nobody else can get. It gives us a chance to get back the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, to get back the Dew Tour. In just a few years, this one excites me so much, we are going to be able to host the greatest in-season basketball tournament of all time with 24 teams coming to Portland, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Texas, Florida, Oklahoma. I mean, the list goes on. It's all the major college teams to celebrate Phil Knight's 80th birthday. That can't happen without a renovated Veterans Memorial Coliseum. The economic impact from that event alone will exceed $31 million, which is what we're talking about for the renovation.
Are tickets on sale yet?
We're talking about it. I actually flew out and met with, actually it was the Michigan State Athletic Director's idea to have this, and we're planning that. The Trailblazers and the Winterhawks have both made unparalleled commitments financially in terms of their time and their resources to make this happen. The PDC has concluded 14 agreements, which they should be saluted for getting that done. But essentially, this can give our city a competitive advantage. It can bring us economic impact multiple times the cost of the renovation. It's really what we've been waiting for, and I would encourage you to favorably consider it. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Carly Ryder from the Portland Business Alliance, and I'm here on behalf of Sandra McDonough, President and CEO of the Portland Business Alliance. Sandy served on the Rose Quarter Stakeholder Advisory Committee, and she was unable to be here today, but she wanted to make sure that you heard her comments of support for this project. This is an example of a successful public-private partnership that Portland is known for, and it would not have happened without the tireless efforts of Mayor Adams, Portland Development Commission Chair Scott Andrews, City and PDC staff, and the dedication of our private partners, the Portland Winterhawks and Portland Arena Management. We thank you all for your collaborative efforts. A lot of painstaking and detailed work has gone into this proposal. The result is a collaborative deal that works. It lays the groundwork for future partnerships and provides real community benefit for the neighborhood, the city, and the region. This project is exactly the kind of investment that urban renewal was designed to provide and produces the short and long-term benefits that epitomize the use of urban renewal. We believe the project merits the investment of urban renewal for the following reasons. First, it has private sector participation. This project could not have been possible without the Portland Winterhawks and Portland Arena Management, who are bringing a lot to the table, and we thank them for their contributions. Second, this development will catalyze this area and spur economic investment in the broader Rose Quarter area. This project will provide certainty for other investors that the city is a dedicated partner in revitalizing this neighborhood. And third, it creates a local and regional benefit by offering a viable entertainment facility for the Portland Winterhawks and other events. This attracts new energy to the area, enlivening it with civic and economic activity. Having the city and the Portland Development Commission involved in this project and poised to assist with future development opportunities in this area will support additional strategic investment. And we're supportive of the city and the Portland Development Commission continuing to work with private sector partners and use this model as an opportunity as the beginning of other key investments in surrounding parcels. So thank you again, Mayor Adams, for your leadership on this project, and our thanks again to Chairman Scott Andrews and the Portland Development Commission for their work. And most importantly, we want to thank the Portland Winterhawks and Portland Arena Management for their investment to this area and their commitment to the community. Thank you.
Mayor, I'd like to ask a question which you could get back to me on, and that's the question of whether the Portland Business Alliance has taken a position on the second half of this deal with the transfer to PDC of some of the Benton block. So if you could get back to me on that later. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Curtis, welcome back.
Good to be back. Mayor Adams, commissioners, I speak on behalf of the Board of Directors of the Portland Rose Festival Foundation, its volunteers, and the hundreds of thousands of people that have enjoyed their beloved Grand Flow Parade from Veterans Historic Memorial Coliseum. Back in 1961, the Rose Festival is one of the stakeholders that was part of a conversation to get that building constructed. We were one of the first events in that facility. And the facility specifically designed its doors in parallel fashion specifically to be the home of the Grand Flow Parade. So there's a lot of historical and emotional ties to our beloved Grand Flow Parade. That year, in 1961, the Rose Festival hosted six events in Coliseum, including our Queen's Coronation, Queen's Ball, that featured Les Brown and the Band of Renown. Don't know those today, but certainly back then, they were a big deal. Four lacrosse games, and of course, the Grand Floral Parade. The Oregonian called it an extraordinary fine vantage point. This is quoting the Oregonian in 1961, from which the parade performed outside the Coliseum and marched straight through those large doors that it was designed for that very reason. Now, more than 50 years later, the Queen's Coronation and the Grand Floral Parade still utilize this fabulous venue. You know, and since 1961, 400,000 people have watched the parade from the seats, paying back then $2.50 to what they pay now, $30 per seat. There's an economic value to the Rose Festival, and it's a big factor in our Grand Floral Parade and our overall operating budget. But it also provides an opportunity for tour groups, seniors who don't want to go out on the streets. They want a nice, comfortable place, and it's the only venue in the United States, parade venue, that is indoors. And that's a tremendous advantage as we're talking about our national, international position in the very competitive special event and tourism market. Today, the parking lot serves as the original telecast location, which that now is streamed to millions of households across the country directly from the Benton lot. And its adjacent streets are used for the formation of the parade. So this is the home of our largest event and a significant one. And it's part of our history. It's hosted a lot of Rose Festival events over the year. And most recently, I have to add that our centennial year, Navy SEALs jump from an airplane and landed on the roof of this building as part of an overall television welcome to Portland. It's a significant
and the
part.
Damage they caused is like $2 million. Oh, so we'll send you the bill.
We'll send the Navy the bill. So again, I want to just on behalf of the staff and board that have worked closely in watching this development, I want to applaud all those, including Mayor Adams, your leadership to develop a workable solution to a tremendous facility that has tremendous community value, and I thank Scott Anders, PDC, and certainly the Winterhawks and the Blazers for a collaborative effort. This is a real win for our community. It has our full support. Thank you.
Thank you. Very nice to welcome you.
Simile, if you could just send me your comments on how the festival would function without the Benton block. Thank you. Sorry.
It's now good afternoon. Fred Leeson representing the Bosco Milligan Foundation Architectural Heritage Center. I'll make it as brief as I can because you're probably as hungry as I am. Whenever we run into an endangered building, there's no greater home run that you can hit than one to save the building, renovate it in an architecturally appropriate way, and restore it to its original use. And that's what you stand on the cusp of, and you have our deep admiration for fighting the 3-year battle to get that done. This truly is very significant. We are a local partner of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. This is a building that's certainly drawn their attention. They're following this.
And so this is a really a great thing for preservation. I read through the ordinances online yesterday, and I noticed all the references to the economic risk, and I just wanted to remind some of you that were probably not here in the 1970s when I was a newspaper reporter for the Oregon Journal and covering the Exposition Recreation Commission, which then managed the Coliseum, is that the Coliseum gave up literally millions of dollars from its revenue to subsidize Civic Stadium and Civic Auditorium. And so, in a sense, this is in your supporting the Coliseum now, we're making good on a past debt. And I really admire you folks for sticking with it and staying with it and making this happen. Thank you.
It's been great to see you. All right. Are there other folks that would like to testify? Please come forward now if you'd like to testify. All right. We're going to take, because Council, I apologize to staff. Some of you get paid by the hour, consulting fees. So you're going to, we're going to take a 10-minute break. 15-minute break so that we can do what we need to do, and we'll meet you, everyone back here at 12:45 to go through staff issues.